Good morning, everybody. Let's all grab a seat, take a moment at this time to enter into the presence of the Lord with our hearts by opening it in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning, and we're so grateful once again as we consider what you did through your Son, Jesus Christ, when you had him come and be born of a woman, remaining God, and became the God-man. And he went to the cross where he was willing and did die on behalf of us, paying the price for our sins, dying for the sin of the world. 3 days later, you raised him from the dead, a miraculous event demonstrating his victory over sin and death and Satan. And now you make it so easy for us to become your children forever. All we got to do is believe good news. The good news of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection for us. And Father, this morning you've gathered your children here together so that we can hear from your word and be strengthened and encouraged by it. We ask for that this morning, Father. We ask for the Holy Spirit's power and presence on all that will be going on, all that we'll be sharing here today as family. And we also pray for the needs that the different saints have this morning, Father, some known to you alone. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. By the power of the Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Will you stand for the song service?
That was Tony, Orlando, and Dawn, everybody. Hey, Tony. Good morning again, everybody. By the way, happy Mother's Day. Thank you for all the children that brought flowers to remind me not to forget to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. Looking out there this morning, that's kids done well. Please turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 15. Romans, chapter 5, verse 15. By the way, this morning I want to say hello to the people that listen to us on the internet. I like to do that every once in a while. We have people that listen to us in Arizona, South Carolina, England, Canada, all over the world, actually. And sometimes we forget about them, so I like to remind us and let them know that we're thinking of them and saying hello this morning. With the folks in Tucson, Arizona, there's a Bible study there that meets every Sunday and listens to our message. They also sponsor radio in both Phoenix and Tucson, so we do appreciate what they're doing. And I want to say hi to them this morning as well. By the way, thank you all for a very enjoyable luncheon last Sunday. It was really, everybody I think had a good time that was here. And thank you for the cooking and all the food and everything else. Also, I want to mention, speaking of radio, that we would like to have radio come back on here in a local market. And we would need a sponsor for that to happen. So we are keeping that in prayer and making that need available in case there's somebody that would like to step up and sponsor that so that people can hear the word of God that may not be able to gather together with us or don't know about us yet. We've had several people that have come here because of radio. We've also heard from people that are either in prison or homebound that get the word of God from radio. So we would love to get that started again. By the way, in a month and a half, the Lighthouse Christian Youth Camp is going to be held again this year. It's from June 16th to the 19th. It's going to be held once again this year at the Gold Coast. I always get this name wrong, but anyway, Gold Coast Christian Camp, still called Christian Camp, not just Gold Coast Camp. Yeah, Jewish group bought them, but they're kind enough to let us still come and elevate Christ there, so we're happy with that. Again, it's June 16th to the 19th, Gold Coast Camp, Lake Worth, and what? That's right. We're going to leave Christian in there. I agree with that. The theme for the older kids this year is forgiveness. Can never have enough of that. Also, for the younger kids, the theme this year is going to be the full armor of God. Kids love that, the helmet and the shield and all that. And so please keep that in prayer. Thank you for all the young people and adults that are going to be volunteering to help us out. Also, it's not too late. Matter of fact, I have my forms for my kids this morning. I got to give them to you. Not too late to get the registration forms in. I think another week or so officially. And you know how gracious Marilyn and Steve are. So if you're a little late, I'm sure you'll still be able to get in. But please do that as soon as you possibly can. Our website has a link to the camp website in case you want to go online and get the forms that way. You can speak to Steve and Marilyn as well. Also, as a reminder, we have a youth group that meets every Monday at 6 o'clock at night. And right here in the church, in the community room across the hall here. So we encourage all young people to be a part of that. And if we haven't gotten your contact information, we'd love to have it if you're willing to give it to us. And we've got little forms in the back over here, and also as you first come in, to give us that contact information, so in case we need to get a hold of you sometime, we have it. All righty, so if you haven't already, please turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 15. And if there's one thing that I'd like you to leave today with in your heart, it's the title of today's message, and that is that Christ is much more than enough. He's much more than enough for anything you're going to face today. He's much more than enough for anything you're going to face in the rest of your life. And we're going to take a look at this theme this morning together. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 15. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, Adam, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression. Remember, the judgment on the human race resulted from Adam's sin and Adam's sin alone. Other people commit sins. We all do. But as far as the judgment on the human race, it was all based on one man's sin, Adam's. The judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. You see, the gift of Jesus Christ covered the sins of the world. So it was far more expansive than the basis on which we were condemned, because Jesus Christ's blood cleansed it all. All right? On the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. When you believe in Jesus Christ, at that moment, God the Father declares you, in his eyes, perfectly righteous forever. For if by the transgression of the one, Adam, death reigned through the one, and we all know that death in the world does reign, death reigned through the one, but here's the key, much more, those who receive, and notice these next phrases, they're wonderful. The abundance of grace. When God gives, he gives abundantly. And the gift of righteousness, which is a gift, will what? Say the next three words with me. Will reign in life. Isn't that wonderful? Reigning in life. Through what? The one, Jesus Christ. And that verse 17 is going to be the basis for our message this morning. That though much more than even how much death reigns in this world, much more than that, those who receive the abundance of God's grace and the gift, it's a free gift of righteousness, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So let's just repeat together this morning those phrases. The abundance of grace. You can talk in church. The abundance of grace, okay? The gift of righteousness, yeah, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. All right, let's say that again. The abundance of grace. The gift of righteousness. Reign in life. Through the one, Jesus Christ. That wasn't good enough. One more time. Really loud now. Come on. It's Mother's Day, after all. The abundance of grace. The gift of righteousness. Reign in life. Through the one Jesus Christ. Are you feeling better? I am. You know, the world wants us to affirm ourselves, you know. I am good enough. I am great. There used to be a Saturday Night Live skit about that. But here's the thing, all right? That idea, when it comes to, you know, I is all wrong. But that idea, when it comes to like a verse like this, is all right. You know, there's everything right with just maybe getting up in the morning and reminding yourself of these things. You know what? I do have an abundance of grace in my life. Jesus Christ is much more than enough for anything I'm going to face today. I really have been given the gift of righteousness by God. That means what? I can reign in life. Well, I love that phrase because that's really our problem, isn't it? Our problem really is that, yes, we know what the Bible says. And we do rejoice in what Christ did for us. He died for our sins. That means that the blood of Christ wipes them out in God's eyes. And he was raised from the dead to new life. And we know we have it. But the problem we face is that in everyday life, there sometimes seems to be a failure of our ability to sort of live like we know the Bible tells us we have the ability to. And this morning, I'd like you to consider that there's a real simple way to have that change in your life. A simple way. You know, a lot of people in the world and religions, they always want to make it a hard way, right? You know, this many steps to this thing, or this many kinds of work that you have to do to get this result. Think about Christ. The thing about being a Christian is that it's not that hard. It's really simple. However, it does take faith. I mean, think of a verse like Galatians 2:20, which is an amazing verse, right? I'm crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live now, I live by what? Faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. If you stop and think about it, that's really a very simple thing. What is it saying? It's saying, look, when Christ died, you died. And now you can reign in life. How? By realizing that Christ is the one who lives now. And that rather than you trying to live like Adam lived with not enough, God wants you to now say, turn to Christ and say, I know that me, as I was born and in Adam, I'm not enough. I don't have enough patience. I don't have enough of whatever. But I know that Christ is not just enough, not just more than enough, but much more than enough. And that's the trick, to change our whole way of looking at how we face our problems from our devices, our strengths, our cleverness, to Christ has got to be much more than enough for this. And it really is that simple. It takes some doing because of the way we think, but that's that simple. And after all, we have been given an abundance of grace. We have been given the gift of righteousness. God says the point of it all is that we will reign in life. That means now. That means today. That means that God, through Christ, has the resources that you need to live today like a king. Let me put it that way. To live today like a queen. And not just if you're a mom, because I would hope that the moms today are going to live like queens on Mother's Day. But every day, reigning in life through who? Through a person, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So that's the message today. It's a pretty straightforward message, but let's get there in a way that hopefully will make it sink in a little bit more. I want to start, of course, with our own lives without Christ, our natural life. Life lived without Christ. Because by and large, in our natural life here on earth, the fact of the matter is that we're more than satisfied when there is just enough. Just when there's enough. You're like you go to the grocery store and you fill your cart with groceries and you have enough money in your debit account. Just enough to pay for the groceries. We're happy when there's enough. You go to school. Congratulations to our graduates. By the way, Carly last night, we had a nice party for her. Well deserved. I'm missing people. Danny's graduating this year. And who am I missing? Is anybody here today that I'm missing that's graduating from high school or college? Huh? Anybody else? Anyway, I know there's more people, but I'm getting old. But anyway, you go to school, and, you know, one day the guidance counselor tells you that you finally have enough credits to graduate. And we're happy with enough. Okay, I got my whatever. That's enough. All right? Or you're on the track team, and you have enough speed to win your race in the track event. And that's good. We like that. Or your boss gives you enough time off to enable you to go on that vacation you've been planning. You see, in this life, naturally, we are more than satisfied when there's enough. And the big reason for that, the reason that we're satisfied with enough, is because there have been times in our lives when there was not enough. There were times in our lives when there's not enough. You go to pay the mortgage, and there's not enough money in the checkbook to pay it. Not enough. Yeah, I like that one. You go on a road trip, and the person who had the car last did not leave you enough gas in the tank to get to your destination. There are a lot of times in our life when there's not enough. You know, your friend, you had a friend, but there was not enough patience in your friend to stick with you when you went through that ordeal. Not enough. Or even your spouse, maybe, didn't have enough love or forgiveness to remain in the marriage after things really fell apart and you really messed up. We live our lives in a world that is marked by not enough. Politicians are not enough character or virtue to stand up for what is right. School departments these days, not enough common sense to understand that zero tolerance is something you use on your enemies, not your children. People with not enough self-control to avoid saying hurtful things to others. A world of not enough. A hospital with not enough expertise to save your dying loved one. Or people who tell you that you are not enough. Like this one. Can you imagine that today we have not enough storage in the iCloud for all the things that people want to back up on their iPhone? Let me tell you, kids, I went to school, high school in the 70s. And in the 70s, we had computers, okay? But we were excited when the number was 64K. Not Google Mega Giga, but 1,000. And we used to store stuff on cassettes. So it kills me to think that today we don't have enough storage in the cloud, which is like a billion computers with 100 million times as much storage as those little computers I was playing with in high school. But isn't it true sometimes that we fill things up so that there's no more storage, there's no more memory? Even as something as amazing as that, we can run out of things. We can find out that there's not enough. You know, you make a mistake with your words, and no matter what you do to express your regret, it's not enough. You see, sometimes people tell you that you're not enough, that what you did for them was not enough. Everything you had, you gave to your work, but you got an impossible-to-please boss who says it's still not enough. You do anything for your children, but after all, you're only human, and you get tired, and sometimes you fall short of money or time or energy or whatever. And yet one day comes when that bratty kid turns to you as a parent and says, "You're not enough for me." We live in a world, a fallen world of not enough. And so having lived like that in this world, this real world, having lived through so much that was not enough, it's a breath of fresh air when there is simply enough. Right? When there is enough. When there is somebody in your life that has enough love to stick with you no matter what. We're more than satisfied, really, when we think about it, when there's simply enough. So imagine the surprise of discovering that one day that this God of ours doesn't settle for even enough. Enough is not enough to our God. He doesn't even settle for more than enough. Because, you know, there is such a thing as enough, and then there's more than enough. But the only way that our God knows how to give is to give much more than enough. Much more. I hope you noticed when we were reading in Romans 5 this morning, you saw that phrase a couple of times. Much more. Much more. That's a description of our God. That's a description of grace. That's a description of how God gives. He gives above and beyond. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. When we fell as a human race, when Adam sinned in the garden, and the whole human race fell, and God had decided in his love that he was going to give to the human race in order to rescue us, he didn't just give enough to rescue us. He didn't even give more than enough to rescue. He gave much more than enough to rescue us from sin and deliver us and allow us to reign in life. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man all that God has prepared for those who love him. You see, in our mind, in our eye, we can see enough. We can probably imagine more than enough. But God has things that we can't even imagine that are much more than enough for us. You know, grace means blessing. Grace means blessing. When you see the word grace in the Bible, just think blessing. Yes, you can add to it unmerited, but just think it's God freely blessing you, no matter what. And so when God blesses you, his blessings are always much more than enough. That's how you know they're from God. They're always much more than enough. They're not simply enough to meet your need or solve your problem. They're not even more than enough to solve your problem. They are much more than you ever expected or ever even imagined. And by the way, he does this in the face of your sin. He does this right in the face of your failure, right in the full ugliness of whatever you've done and whatever its consequences. God comes on the scene and he doesn't just give enough or even more than enough. He gives much more than enough. And he does this in a way that will rob even death of its power. He'll do it right in front of your mistakes, right in front of your enemies, right in front of your problems. He'll come on the scene and he won't just give you enough or even more than enough, but he'll give you much more than enough. Please turn to Psalm 23, verse 1. One of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. And of course, if you keep in count, I have hundreds of favorite passages in the Bible, if you haven't noticed that yet. But Psalm 23, verse 1, it's the grace psalm, really. It's a simple, powerful, profound psalm. Many people memorized it when they were children, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows, much more than enough. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's so many things about this psalm, of course, that we could talk about this morning. One of the things I want you to notice is that, did you ever notice before in Psalm 23 that in the first three verses, it talks about the Lord as what we call in grammar the third person, he. It talks about him, right? He makes me lie down. So when we're talking about the positive blessings themselves, you know, he's talking about him leading us. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. But then in verse 4, we're introduced to the enemies. We're introduced to death and our enemies. Notice what happens when our enemies come on the scene. When they move into our lives, all of a sudden it's not enough for us to talk about God as he. It's all of a sudden he's so close that we're talking about him as you. He's right there. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to notice in verse 5 that he prepares that table of blessing, and it's more than enough. No, it's much more than enough, right? Our cup overflows. And notice that he's doing it in the presence of our enemies. That's the phrase I wanted to point out this morning about Psalm 23. He does it in the presence of our enemies. Well, who are our enemies? Sure, they're people. But when you come right down to it, the real enemies, the real ones, are sin and death and the world and Satan. And those things are things that are still part of our lives and they still cause all kinds of trouble. We have to remember, though, that Jesus Christ has already defeated all of them. Okay? Jesus Christ on the cross defeated the principalities and powers. Defeated them. Okay? He defeated death. All the things that we could never defeat, that we were overmatched in as human beings. Death, of course, is the one everybody can obviously relate to. None of us really naturally have an answer for death. But Christ defeated it. Christ defeated death. He defeated the principalities and powers. He defeated sin. And so he's somebody that whenever those things come into our life, he has much more than enough now in order for that, for his victory to play out in our lives. And he'll do it in the presence of those enemies. So that whatever it is you're facing, your problem today, all right, ultimately it has to do with one of your enemies. Maybe it's sin. Maybe that's causing problems in your life. Maybe it's the world. The world causes all kinds of problems for us. Maybe it's Satan, the kingdom. Whatever it is, though, please understand that the Lord will prepare much more than enough blessing for you right in the presence of your enemies. And I say that because sometimes we want to sort of get rid of that before we think God's going to bless us, right? Think about the area of sin, right? There's something natural about us as fallen, guilt-ridden human beings that when there's sin in our life, ours or somebody else's, we think that we have to get rid of it all before God can come on the scene. You know, like when you have friends of your parents came over when you were young, right? And your mother was saying, we got to make this place as spotless before they get here. You know, that kind of thing. Well, that's the kind of thing that sticks in our head. And so when we think about God blessing us, we have the same idea. You know, he won't bless us until our lives are spotless. You know, that is gratefully not at all the way God works in our lives. He says, no, relax. You know, he's the kind of person that would come into your house and see your mom scurrying to try to fix everything and say, hey, Martha, relax. All right? It's me, the Lord. I'm your shepherd. You know, I'm the one who knows you have a messy soul because one of my jobs is to restore it. Right? I'm the one who knows that you're going to get lost and not find the paths of righteousness because I'm the shepherd who guides you there. I'm the one who knows that you're always going to have enemies in your life. I come there, and in the worst of it all, I prepare the banquet for you. While they're just sitting around, while Satan and your world problems are all still there, but I come there right there in the middle of them, and I bless you, not with enough, not with more than enough, but with much more than enough. And that's a great thing about our God. So he prepares this and overwhelms our enemies with that unbelievable, unquenchable life that we know he has because he demonstrated it by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. All right, let's go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. So when God gives, and he gives freely, you know, that's why I remember when we started this morning, we said the abundance of grace, I'll remind you, even though I know you said it three times with all your heart, abundance of grace, but then the gift of righteousness. See, this is a package. The abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness, reigning in life through the one Jesus Christ. And it's because the fact of the matter is that we need to know every day of our lives that he has defeated the sin problem for us. And the reason we know that is because God's already declared us righteous on the basis of the work of Christ on the cross. That's the starting point, you see. That's why, because we have been given the gift of righteousness, God is free now to bless us without any consideration. There's no limits to it. That's why that righteousness is important, right? That's what we've been studying, the fact that God declares us righteous the moment we believe in Christ. And that just is an indicator that he's free to bless us no matter what. What's going on in our life. Things that don't look righteous. You know, messy problems. I mean, if you think about it, when you think about your closest, most intimate human relationships in life, all right, family relationships, friend relationships, marriage relationships. When you think about those, isn't it true that they're the messiest relationships in life? And by that I mean that you're so entangled in a good way, really, with a person that it's really hard. You know, sometimes when you're with people that you're really close to, it's even hard to see where you end and where they begin. Because the issues are so close. And in that kind of a situation, it's a messy kind of thing. It's not real easy. It's not real easy to say who's right and who's wrong. It hardly ever is. These things that go on, it's like a soap opera in a good way, but there's sort of one story after the other and they kind of all mush together. And it's really hard to say, well, that was totally your fault, or the reason why this is going on right now is totally like this. And if we were left to our own abilities, it would always be a mess. Okay, but the great thing is that we're not, you see. We are given God and we're given Christ to come in on the scene, and we rely on Him to be what we need to be in that relationship. And all of a sudden, even though it's messy, in the presence of the mess, we know we've got the confidence that Christ is at work in this relationship for us. You see, that's why it's important to realize that He does it in the presence of the mess. He doesn't wait for the mess to get cleaned up. In fact, He expects it to be messy. And that's where He does His best work, as a matter of fact. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. He did that. He died for the ungodly. Churches should always welcome the ungodly. That's our mission. Why? Because Christ died for us when we were ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. I asked folks a question on Wednesday night, who would you be willing to die for? You know, and it gives you some idea. The reason why that's a question I would ask you is so that you can start to understand the amazing dimension of God's love. Because when you start, sometimes we start to compare our love with God's. We say, well, I would love this way, so that must be the way that God loves. You know, but let me tell you something. His ways are so much higher than our ways. You know, and so I like that question as one of the questions to get at that. Who would you be willing to die for? Right? Would you be willing to die for your best friend? Maybe. On the other hand, aren't there plenty of times when your best friend has asked you to do things much less than die and you didn't do them for him? Right? Come on. So let's be real, right? Another example. If somebody calls you on the phone at 12 o'clock midnight and says they've just been arraigned and they're going to have to serve a sentence of 6 months in jail and they really don't want to, and the judge has allowed them to bring somebody else in to serve the sentence for them, and they're on the phone asking for that person to be you, you know, who on the end of that phone would you be willing to do that for? To just drop your whole life now and spend the next 6 months in prison for them? Not too many, right? Maybe none, right? And that's a friend. You know, well, let's talk about God. What did God do? What did God do for us? He said, when we were His enemies, right? Now, that brings that into the picture, like we talked about on Wednesday. How about your enemy? What would you be willing to do for your enemy? Think about that for a minute. But be real about this, because I want you to shake out of your idea that whatever love you can have in your own way as a human being equals God's love. It doesn't. God's love goes way beyond that. Would you be willing to be polite to your worst enemy for an hour at a party? Maybe, right? Okay. Would you be willing to take $500 that you're going to use for dental work on your child and give it to your enemy instead? Probably not. Let's be real, right? Okay. So, would you be willing to die for your enemy? Probably not. No, definitely not. Well, that gives you the dimensions of God's love that's beyond our love already, okay? That He would be willing to do a big thing for His enemy. But that big thing that He did wasn't just, you know, giving some time or giving some money. It wasn't really just Him dying. It was really God the Father. What He did was He said, I am going to give my son and have my child die for my worst enemies. What? I mean, even if by some outrageous act of your love, you'd be willing to die for your enemy, Would you be willing to give your child up to die for your enemy? No way. There's just no way. I'm sorry. There's no way. And that gives you some idea of how much more God's love is than anything we can understand. And that's really the point here of Romans 5. While we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were his enemies, Christ, his uniquely born son, died for us. Much more than, having now been justified by his blood, by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ means that when he died on the cross, he took care of our sins. And on the basis of that, when you believe in Jesus Christ, God looks and sees the blood of his son and says, on the basis of the fact that the blood of my son has covered all your sins, I declare you perfectly righteous forever. Justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. That is so tender. That is such an incredible expression of the love of God. While we were his enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. What's this saying? You know, it's saying it would have been enough to prove God's amazing love if he had sent his son to die for a good man. That would have been enough. It would have been more than enough to prove God's amazing love if he had sent his son to die for a righteous man. But God showed his love for us to be a much more than enough love by sending his son to die for us when we were his enemies. That's a much more kind of love. It would have been enough after that to just remove our condemnation. My son has died, I'll remove their condemnation. They are no longer condemned. That would have been enough. It would have been more than enough to declare us righteous. More than enough. What a great gift. But remember who we have for God. We have a what? Much more God. So when he comes on the scene and his grace goes to work, it's abundant grace, it's a much more kind of blessing. And that much more is what we saw this morning in verse 17. He's saying, now I want them to reign in life. I want them to live every day of their life like a king or a queen. And that's the much more kind of love that God has for us. Look at Romans 5:17 again. For if by the transgression of the one, Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So now, Christ is much more than enough. This is what I want you to understand. Christ was enough for you to have the condemnation removed. Your sins are never going to be held against you, never even mentioned again in God's presence. Your sins, they're gone. Okay, that's enough. And then for him on top of that to say, now I'm going to give you the most positive thing related to all this, which is righteousness. That was more than enough. But then on top of that, for him to say, and now I want you to live now every day of your life as kings and queens, that's much more than enough. But don't forget the last part of the verse, because that tells you how this is possible. How is it that the one who abundantly blesses us with his grace, who's already declared us righteous, how is it that he enables us to reign in life? And the answer is, it's right there, through the one. Jesus Christ. He's given us Christ for now. He gave us Christ 2,000 years ago for our sins. He gave us Christ when he raised him from the dead so that we're righteous. He gives us Christ now. And where is Christ? Seated at the right hand of the Father. He gives Christ to us now so that we can reign in life today as a king or a queen. Today. Despite your problems. Because remember, Psalm 23 tells us that this is the God that blesses us in the presence of our enemies. So you don't have to be disturbed by the presence of these things in your life, by the presence of sin, whether yours or anybody else's. by the presence of the problems of the world, by the presence of any attacks you're getting from the principalities and powers. They are not going to disturb God's ability to bless you, and not bless you with enough, or even more than enough, but to bless you with much more than enough. And when he does that, you reign as a king or a queen. And how do you do it? Through the one. Through the one, Jesus Christ. Christ, if you want to know, is where is my blessing? Where in my life do I find that God has done something that's much more than enough? And the answer is simply Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, that's where you look every day to find the much more than enough blessing. That's what enables you to reign as a king or a queen in your life. You know, giving the overflowing nature of what we've already seen today, the abundance of God's blessings, you might think that it would be sort of an overwhelming experience to receive it all in a way. But actually, it's a very simple thing. God has deposited all your blessings, much more than you could ever hope for. And he didn't do it in a bank or a building. He didn't spread it across mountaintops so that you think you have to make some massive journey to get these blessings. It's not even the case where he sort of put them with different experts or great people in your life, or whether there's a whole group of devices that you need to use in order to gain access. He didn't even spread them all across your life so that your life becomes a scavenger hunt to try to get the blessings. He didn't do any of that. He put them all in one place. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So wonderful. Did you ever have an experience in your life where you wake up one day and you realize that you have a lot of needs related to people? You know, that you'd like to have companionship. You'd like to then also have somebody who understands you. You'd like to have somebody who's very beautiful or attractive. You'd like to have somebody that is there to take care of you. And you're thinking in your mind that you need like 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 people, right? And then what happens? One day in your life, God just brings one person in your life, and you find out that that one person meets all those needs. It's a wonderful thing. It doesn't happen often. It might happen once in your life if you marry well, and it might happen maybe one other time when you have an amazing friend, you know? And even then, of course, we know, being human, we don't really meet all our needs. If you go into any relationship with the expectation that another fallen human being is going to do that, you're going to be disappointed. But you get the idea. But when you think about all the problems you're ever going to face in your life, when you think about all the needs you might ever have, when you think about all the things you really know you lack, and I mean on the inside, like enough patience, or enough love, or enough gratitude, or enough perseverance, or what? All the not enoughs that you have. You think about all of those, and then you discover what God has done for you to meet every one of those needs. It's amazing. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And that's an overpowering idea. But notice what he did in Christ. He took them all and he put them in one single person, Jesus Christ. And he gave that person to you. And you don't have to wait for the future. You have him now. And you've had him since the moment that you believed in him. And he's closer to you than any brother or any friend, because he is in you and you are in him. That's what God has done to meet every need that you'll ever have in your life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ who is filled up to the brim with grace and with truth. In whom we have already received grace flowing on top of grace. As a matter of fact, do you realize that you have a complete Christ? I love that. Because why? Because when you think about Christ, that's like amazing, right? Hopefully you think he's amazing. But we realize that he's been given to you, and that you have the complete Christ. So that if you say to him, what is it that Christ lacks? What's your answer? Nothing, right? Hopefully, right? You know, does Christ lack patience this morning? No. Does Christ lack graciousness? No. Does he lack love? No. Does he lack anything? No. Does he have enough? for you to make your life work? Does he have more than enough? He has what? Much more than enough. And that's the key. It's right there in Romans 5:17. Abundance of grace. That's what we're looking for. Gift of righteousness. That's the basis for it all. Reigning in life. That's a description of how I want my life to be. I want to reign in life. I want to wake up every day. And you do too when you think about it. And that I go through my life living as a king or living as a queen. How? Through the one, Jesus Christ. Is he enough? Is he more than enough? Is he much more than enough? And you have him completely. All right. Please turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. He's in you. He's in you now and forever. You're in him now and forever. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. Ah! You see, that's the journey we're on. You see that? We're on a journey to get to the point where we really do, on a practical daily basis, tap into what Christ has for us. That's a journey. What's it based on? It's the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. See, that's the whole thing. Remember, I live by faith in the Son of God. And it really does take a lot of life lived with the Word of God, a lot of trusting, a lot of believing, to really start to see how this you tap into this on a very consistent basis. And that's okay. You know, he's bringing us along. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. But it comes from the full assurance of understanding. It really does mean something as simple as, you know what? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. You know? That is so foreign, of course, to our human nature. You know, God said it. Did he really say it? What did he say in the Greek? You know, all that kind of thing. I believe it. I'm not sure if I believe it. Right? So it takes the human part of us, you know, it takes a while to really get with the program here. But don't worry, it'll happen more and more. Okay, that's God's desire for you. Comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. And what is that? So simple. Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Because, I mean, do you ever have a person in your life that comes into your life, and you're like, yeah, okay, they're in my life, they're a friend, she's cute, and they're in your life, and you sort of don't really, you really kind of have a vague idea who they are or what the, but what happens is that maybe in a quiet way and in a way where you make mistakes in your life and that person's still there or you really do have a need and they meet it or, you know, you have a lot of situations where a lot of people leave you but that one doesn't. And all of a sudden you start, slowly but surely it dawns on you that there's an awful lot more here in this person than you thought. And then all of a sudden, they mean a lot, so much more, and they have so many resources for you, and you really are just enjoying who they are. Well, that's kind of the idea with Christ, you know? One of the dangers of the Christian way of life, one of the dangers of being a pastor is that the facts are what they are, and they really are a few words, you know, like grace and Christ and righteousness. And there's a trap of saying them and hearing them so many times that they seem stale all of a sudden, you know? But that's a trap, okay? It really is. I mean, if you think about people that fall in love, you know, do they get tired of saying the name of the one they love? No, they don't, you know? And that's kind of what we need to wake up and realize that Christ is new every morning. That there's something else, that there's another part of your life where you forgot to turn him on in the sense of bringing him, putting you on the bench and putting him in the game. You forgot to do that in that area of your life. So that area of your life really isn't working. It's so that you really need to have a new glimpse of who Christ is. And that's what we want to be doing, you know? Because I admit to you that this is very lofty language, you know, full assurance of understanding, knowledge of God's mystery, Christ himself, in whom are hidden, notice this, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It does sound too good to be true, doesn't it? You mean there's a person that I'm in union with, that he's in me and I'm in him, and he has all the treasures? He has full wealth? Really? You know, it's really hard to believe at times, but it's true. And the thing about it is that what you got to do with lofty, big language in the Bible sometimes is say to yourself, you know what? I know at the end of the day, though, that in addition to this sounding fantastic and really beyond me, that it really will be practical. And that's what I want you to understand this morning about what we're talking about this much more God and Christ being much more than we need. This is extremely practical. What do I mean by that? I mean that Christ has been given to you for your problem today. He's the problem that you're facing today. You can use a passage like Colossians 2:2 or 2:3 on. That if he has all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, whatever my problem is today, I know that he, Christ, is much more than enough in order to meet that. You know? Whatever you're facing right now, he's going to prepare that table of blessing in the presence of your enemies. And not Christ so that you'll have just enough to overcome the problem, that you make it through life. A lot of people say, well, I'll be happy if I just make it through life. You ever hear that from people? You probably said it yourself. I just make it through life, I'll be happy. Right? You know? Penniless and a smile on my face, you know, whatever. Just make it through life. But that's not what Christ is for. He's not just enough to make it through life. He's not even more than enough to have an occasional victory. You know, some people say, well, I could see some progress in my life, I'd be happy. He's not even more than that. He's what? Much more than that. Christ in your life is much more than enough. Always. Always. Which means that you can what? Reign in life. Right? Abundance of grace, gift of righteousness, reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So I want you to pick a problem of yours. Any problem. I'm a magician and I have a whole deck of cards. Right? And I say, pick a card. Pick a problem in your life. Any problem. Really, anyone at all. I don't care what it is. You don't have to tell me. You can if you want. I'm always interested to see if people's problems are worse than mine. Makes me feel better. But really, pick a problem. Any problem in your life. I want you to do it now. Do this. Look, this can't be practical if you don't do it in your life. Right? It's only theoretical. If I stand up here for 5 hours and illustrate from my life or other people's lives, it's still only theoretical. It's only when you say, you know what? I'm deciding to make it practical in my life today. And the way you do that right now is pick a problem of yours and realize that behind that problem is an enemy that's too much for you. Whatever it is. You know, for some of us, for all of us, there's an area of sin in our lives that is too much for us. And we just need to face that. See, because until you realize that, until you admit it's too much for you, you know what the problem is? You're going to leave you in the game and keep Christ on the bench. As long as you don't say it's too much for me, you're going to figure, well, you know, LeBron James is pretty good, but I'll bet you I can take him to the hole. You know? Really? That's what you're going to say. That's what you say in your life with areas of sin that you think you can handle yourself. That's what you're saying. Just picture you getting on the court and LeBron James is standing there and he's coming at you at 120 miles an hour and you say, no problem, I'll block his shot. That's what it's like. We all have that part of our life. We have an area of sin in our life that's too much for us. We all have the world crushing us in areas that are too much for us. We do. We have other people that drive us crazy and it's too much for us. Not to mention the fact that we have enemies called the principalities and powers that are way too much for us. So here's God the Holy Spirit as the coach watching you lose play after play because LeBron James is dunking and blocking your shot. And all of a sudden he blows a whistle and says, time out! Time out! Don't you understand? Jesus Christ has conquered the flesh. That one that you've been leaving on the bench. He's beaten all the lusts of the flesh. That one that you're leaving on the bench. He's already defeated the world. Remember he said in the world you'll have trouble, but don't worry, because what? I've overcome the world. He's the world champion, literally, beaten the world. He's also beaten the principalities and powers. Do you realize who's sitting on the bench of your life this morning? And all it takes, really, all it takes is a simple matter of saying, let's put Johnny in Adam, me, the old Johnny, on the bench, and let's bring out Christ to play against that problem, whatever it is in your life. and watch what happens. Because when you do that, it won't just be enough to have a victory. It won't even be more than enough. It'll be what? Much more than enough. And you can reign in life. Understand that. God has given you Christ to be the practical answer to all your problems in life. The practical answer to all your problems in life. He is always and at all times much more than enough to handle that enemy of yours, whatever that enemy is. So bench yourself. That's the message. Bench yourself. Put yourself on the bench. I mean the old you, the old man you. And you know how you know when it's the old you, when it's you and Adam, the way you think, you know how it is? Real simple. It's going to be filled with not enough. It's a real simple test, right? If you're looking at it and you're saying, there's not enough hope here, that's the old you. There's not enough courage. I don't have enough courage. That's the old you. Not enough comfort. Not enough patience. That's the old you. Not enough forgiveness or confidence. That's a big one. I don't have enough confidence here. If I just had enough confidence, that's the old you. The wrong person is in the game. Not enough peace of mind. Not enough life. Not enough strength. Whatever it is, bench that guy and put Christ into the game of your life. That's the answer. Because he is your life. He is your hope. He has more than enough forgiveness. Much more. Much more than enough strength. Much more than enough peace. Much more than enough victory. Much more than enough hospitality or gratitude. Much more than enough love. Much more than enough joy. Much more than enough peace and patience and kindness. Much more than enough gentleness. Much more than enough faithfulness. I'm not a very faithful friend. That's right, you're not. And you never will be. Bench yourself. Put the guy in the game of your life who has much more than enough faithfulness. His name is Jesus Christ. Much more than enough goodness. Much more than enough self-control. He's defeated every enemy that you'll ever face. All the principalities and powers, the world, sin, I don't care. He's blocked every one of their shots. And he wants to do it again and again and again in your life. He's hit every shot he's ever taken. And he wants to start doing that more in your life. I'll give you a couple of verses in closing. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us practical every day of our life. What? Wisdom from God. Put him in the game. Righteousness. Sanctification. Redemption. It's all in Christ. And you have a complete Christ. Or 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to put these on the board rather quickly so we can close. I don't have that. 1 Corinthians 2:14. We'll do that one. But thanks be to God. Notice this. Always leads us in triumph in Christ. This is how you reign in life. Put him in the game. He always leads us in triumph in Christ. Or this one. There it is. I do have it. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:1. According to the commandment of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. So you sit there and you say, I don't have enough hope. I don't know how these people do it. Must be something wrong with me. I'm looking at all these other people. They have hope. I don't have hope. That's right. And you never will. Because you got the wrong person in the game. Bench yourself and put Christ in because he's your hope. Or Colossians 3, 4. This covers it all, doesn't it? When Christ, who is our life. But when are we gonna figure it out that this is really true and that this is not just something as a theological statement. This is not just something as, oh, that means when I get to heaven, right? No, this means now. This means today. This means that God wants you to reign in life. And the only way you're going to do it is by benching the you that is lifeless and dead and hopeless and putting in Jesus Christ into the game of your life because he is your life. All right. So just call on him. That's the message I have this morning. Just call on him. Just call on him. That's not hard, is it? Right? Abundance of grace, gift of righteousness, reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So call on him. He's sitting there waiting to get into the game. And if you're like most of us, you're losing. You're behind. I don't know if it's the first quarter or the fourth quarter, but you need him in the game, whatever that area is in your life. Get him in the game. He is your life. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you this morning for allowing us to come to your word and to realize that Christ that you've given us, he's not just enough or even more than enough. He is much more than enough. And it's just a matter of us realizing and having the full assurance of that, such that we put ourselves on the bench and we put him into the game to go after our enemies, whatever they are. And Father, we know this is true because he's already achieved that at the cross. He defeated all of our enemies once and for all. And those include sin and death and Satan. He died for our sins. And he rose from the dead 3 days later. You raised him from the dead. So that whoever believes in your Son, Jesus Christ, will never perish but have eternal life and will reign in life now. And thank you so much, Father, that you have given us this great gift, this grace by faith salvation, and that's simply a matter of believing. And we just ask, Father, this morning that God the Holy Spirit will lead any lost soul this morning to that truth, to the cross, and see the Savior there, dying for them, and realizing that just down the road is the tomb that he was placed in, and that 3 days later, he was raised from the dead, came out of that tomb to live forevermore. And his life can be our life by simply believing in him. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Father, we thank you once again for everything that you've given us. We know it all is packaged in one person, Jesus Christ. He is not just enough for us, or even more than enough. He is much more than enough. We just thank you, Father, for him. And we ask now that the Holy Spirit would show us more and more the facts that he is our life. We ask it in Christ's name by the power of the Spirit. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite Dave Verhoeven forward. Curious to see what he has for us this week.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day again to all you moms. Remember, Pastor and I have no idea what's in each other's message. So when they line up, it truly shows how amazing God is. And this morning is certainly no different. When Jesus died on the cross, his blood cleansed us and washed away our sins forever. And now God sees our sins no more and has declared us perfectly righteous in his eyes. And we will one day be with Jesus in heaven. But how do we know these things? By what we do this morning. We come to church to hear and learn God's word from our pastor teacher. And that's why your giving to support the church is so important. Not just for here in this building, not just for us here in this building, but for so many more that are watching and listening on the internet and radio who need to know that there can be hope, joy, peace, and love for them also and their lives through Jesus Christ. All because of his precious work he has done for us on the cross. So words like hope, joy, peace, and love are small, but can be so big in the lives of so many. So please remember what God has given us all and give to the offering to support the church so God's word can continue to be heard. And this can be done by using the offering box located in the back. Let us pray for the offering. God, you are the giver of all grace and of all blessings. As we give to the offering this morning, we thank you for this day and for your promise to be with us always and for your gift of eternal salvation. You are our loving God, and we give thanks to you for all these blessings. Through Jesus Christ we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right, we having another song this morning, young people? Come on up. We'll give them a moment to get up here. All right, we'll close in prayer now, and then that means that their song will be the final event of the service, and then you'll be free to go. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you for Jesus Christ and for all those great qualities that Dane just mentioned, Father, that are for us and for others. Father, we just ask that that we realize who we have in Jesus Christ and that we allow him to live life now through us. And we know that when that happens, the fruit will be amazing. That not only will we reign in life, but we'll give hope and life to others as well. And so we're just so excited to see that happen in our lives now, Father. And we just ask for that to happen through your power of your word, the power of Christ resurrected, and the power of the Spirit. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.